What's on your heart today, Monsignor?
You know, our Lord designed each one of us in the world because He is our Creator and our Father, and He designed us to be happy. The Lord made me to know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him, and to be happy in this world, and to be with Him forever in the next, in joy and in happiness. The design that God had for each one, every person, you know, what kind of ogre would God be? And sometimes we think of Him in the sense that He made me to suffer. That is a lie. That is something that the enemy, our enemy, Satan, would love to insinuate to God's children. So that, you know, God gets a bad reputation. And the devil, you know, if you follow his ways, you're really going to be happy. It's just the contrary. God has designed each person to be full of joy and happiness. And yet, so many experience unhappiness, weariness, misery, and exhaustion to the point where, you know, almost every day, you know, in my phone and the different people who call me for assistance, there's this priest who, he is so anxious-ridden, anxiety-filled, so on the verge almost every day. And one for the long periods and stretches, he can get into this very dark place of depression. And then there's this woman who calls me, Sue. She is so anxious and frustrated and miserable and crying out every day in deep anxiety and depression. And recently, what brings it to mind, because I really believe there are so many people who would be listening to me who have somewhat similar experiences, that attempted suicide 2 days ago. She had a message on my... She frequently called me, and she has bouts of depression, but whoever answered from her family said she had just taken an overdose. I've been trying to get in touch with her. Our modern society is, there are so many people who are reported suicides. People who have come to the point of their lives that the most powerful instinct that's in human beings, self-preservation, passes away and they take their own lives. How many kind of live in a state of, what an unhappy, miserable person am I today? And so, if you have had bouts of that, in and out, all of us at times have desolation. It's kind of normal for human beings. But we are primarily called by God to live a life of consolation. God has so designed us. What do we do with that time in our lives when we have these bouts that we... And our Lord, in the 11th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, that very famous invitation of Jesus, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." To follow and to be with Him in our suffering, in our burdens, that's the invitation. What is it then that comes, that makes us come to the point where that burden is so overwhelming that I feel I cannot carry it anymore? What is there in that yoke that's on my shoulders that so weighs me down and crushes me so that I feel I'm unable to go on? I believe that there is so much. The Alcoholics Anonymous have a saying, halt. H, hungry. A, angry. L, lonely. T, tired. Halt. When you wake up and you find yourself hungry, angry, lonely, tired, halt. Just stop. Take an assessment here. So many times the hungers that we have is because we have not taken care of ourselves. We failed so many times in doing good. I remember my grandfather used to tell me, because he saw in me as a young person, he used to say to me, John, the devil is not going to get you doing bad. He's going to get you doing good. How is that? Because it's hard for me to say no. When I'm going to be generous, I wind up being falsely generous. If I give myself too much, what's going to happen is it's going to crush me. When you find yourself as one who is taking respite care of an Alzheimer patient, whether it's your mother or your wife or someone in your family, and there's someone in your family that you're caring for, an elderly person, and you are so burnt out, you may just begin to say, where is everybody else? Isn't there any other member of my family? What you really need is respite care. Because there are some people in families and in our society that let Mary do it. She's always there. She could take care of it. And it piles up and piles up and piles up and becomes crushing. You have to take care of yourself. You become hungry. Also, in that just word is so important. When you become so down and overburdened, one of the things I notice in my daily routine is I must exercise. Have you taken time to exercise in some way so that you can get yourself fit enough to do the things you're doing? Some people have a lifelong regimen of doing some physical exercise every day. The burden can become so heavy, and it's so important for you to go for a walk or to go for a run or to do some kind of exercise that will refresh you. Learn what it is for you to take healthy exercise. What about your diet? When we talk about healthy, and when someone gets hungry, what kind of hungers? Not only spiritual hungers, because you didn't pray, but physical hungers, because you're doing the wrong things, and you're eating the wrong things. Obesity, recently I saw in an article, has become a national disease. And actually, it's international. It's all over the world. What about your diet? What about what you eat? What about the comfort foods that you may take so as to really be unhealthy in order to do the things that you're called to do by your state in life? What about the routine that you may have every day of internet just not pornography, but just wasting your time at times at things that really aren't refreshing. Video games. When I really see it's such a, I don't understand how people can get themselves into some kind of hours and hours of wasting their time on internet. Also, one of the things that kind of contributes to our weariness is the fact that we don't get enough sleep. Go to bed on time. I have here in Omaha, charge of the seminarians. It's amazing how many through internet or through whatever they are doing or not doing, seminarians don't get to bed on time. The simplest exercise that I have to do is remind them to get enough sleep. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. And in being aware that you yourself must be taking care of yourselves. Now prayer. If you find that you are neglecting time with God. I remember being with one of the most active groups that I have ever met of religious, the Missionaries of Charity, Mother Teresa's sisters. Wherever I went with her, as she established her foundations, there would be a place where the sisters would give themselves to the dying, to the hungry, to the abandoned, to the most, to the poorest of the poor. It was amazing what they were doing in every society all over the world. The Missionaries of Charity are such an example of active missionaries. But every time Mother insisted that there would be a place for them to refresh themselves and to pray. Without prayer, their activity would be so empty. They would be going through the motions, but they themselves could get burnt out. That which sustains us for the long run, not a 100-yard dash, but serving others, is a marathon. If you have a burdensome work in your families, you grandmothers who and grandfathers who are being called upon and being stretched with maybe your daughter's is in the midst of a divorce and that family really is needing you to reach out to them. Or maybe there's an illness in a family and you're reaching out to sustain and help them. Pray. One of your greatest contributions for assisting and helping your families is prayer. You cannot give to your others. It's a magnificent gift when you take time to be refreshed, to receive from God. God is your Father. God wants to fill you so that you can fill others. When you become the source of others feeding off you, no matter how much you have, you're going to be drained. The only infinite source of power and love is our Father. And God has made you in such a way that you cannot give to your brothers and sisters what you don't receive from Him. Jesus' invitation, come to me, and I will give you rest. If you have the enthronement of the Sacred Heart in your home, when you come before that image on a daily basis to spend the time praying the rosary, to spend the time in some contemplative prayer, in reading the scriptures, in praying for the members of your family that are sick and suffering, especially those that are dying and need care, those who are in need of long periods of attention because of their long illness, those with strokes, those who have Alzheimer's. How important it is for you to continually to receive from God so that you can give to others. There's so much false generosity. You cannot give what you do not have. Father Henry Nouwen has a magnificent instruction for those of us who are so pressed from many areas to give ourselves. I kind of assume that those who would be listening to this are generous people. You are a member of a family. You are married. You are a mother, father, grandparent, a brother or sister, reaching out to others and wanting to give yourselves to others. And Father Nouwen says, your unique presence in your community is the way God wants you to be present to others. Different people have different ways of being present to others. You have to know and claim your way. That is why discernment is so important. Once you have an inner sense, an inner knowledge of your true vocation, you have a point of orientation. That will tell you, that will help you discern what to do and what to let go of, what to say and what to remain silent about, when to go out and when to stay at home, who to be with and who to avoid. When you get exhausted, frustrated, overwhelmed, or run down, your body is saying that you are doing things that are none of your business. God does not require of you what is beyond your ability, what leads you away from God, or what makes you depressed or sad. God wants you to live for others and to live that presence well. Doing so might at times include suffering, fatigue, and even moments of great physical or emotional pain. But none of this must ever pull you away from your deepest self or from God. That is powerful advice to those who want to be helpful to your community. What is it in your community that you are to be present to? And what is it in your community that you are to be absent from? What is it in your community that you are to give to? And what is it in your community that you are to refrain from that? God will guide you. Ask God. Take that time to come to Jesus, to come to the Sacred Heart, to ask Him what it is He wants you to do in the circumstances of your daily lives. When I use Him as the source, come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome. I will refresh you. Some of the most outstanding people in my life, I know that there are those saints like Blessed Teresa of Calcutta or Saint Pio. that gave themselves so generously to the community of people, and they are saints. But there are so many people in my life. My grandfather was such an example to me. And his role was so powerful in his family because he was a man of deep, deep prayer. He would pray for hours on his knees. And that prayer was so powerful. People would ask him in his family, "Grandpa, would you pray for me?" One of the most influential priests in my life was a priest when I was a young priest, was Father Monsignor Connell McHugh. We used to say he came over on the second voyage with Christopher Columbus. We young guys used to see there. He was an old man, but he had such an influence on all of us. Now, this was back in the 50s, and then in the 60s, and he died in the early 60s, but he was a man of deep, deep prayer. He was a pastor of a large spread parish in a rural area in the Poconos Mountains of Pennsylvania. What a powerful influence he was. He seemed to always be there at the right time. But the guidance and direction that the Holy Spirit gave him as I reflect on his life, like for me, he would be that priest that I would look at and want to guide my life after. Are you, Father, that I have a priest who comes to me full of anxiety, full of worries, and he's not a young priest. And he's constantly having bouts with depression and anxiety. I'm sure that he is so intense. And I think with this false generosity, giving himself at times to a point, to his people, to his family, to his mission, and he himself becomes so distraught within himself. God wants us to live our lives with joy. God has created us to be happy. The way God made us is that he made us to be in him and through him very powerful for others. Why did God make the first commandment the first commandment? It's so important to keep first things first. And what is that? Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole strength, and your whole mind. When I live that love of God, when I am aware that he is filling me, he who had made the sun and the moon and the stars, I'm always filled with a tremendous power, a tremendous grace. He who is the source of power, he who is the source of all grace, is the one from whom I drink. Then I don't become hungry. He who is the source of all peace, then I don't become angry. He who is the source of all love, then I don't become lonely. He who is the source of all power, then I don't become tired. In him and through him. And that's why Paul, the great missionary who goes out and has gone all over, in him all things I can do. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. The source and strength of each of us to serve others is the Lord. And to neglect to take power and grace from him, in order to do that, we have to give God the time. Each day, I pray for all of us who are listening, take the time to be with God. And the time you spend with God will be so powerful in giving yourself to others. Even the time you spend with God will be the source of strength for all of those that you want to care for. He is the source of all grace and all power. In Him and through Him and with Him, I can do all things. In Him who strengthens me.
Monsignor, how do we discern in that those areas of our lives where we want to do the good, there is a good that we want to do, and knowing it's a good that God wants us to do? Because that desire, sometimes that want in our heart, can be very strong. We might think that it's God wanting it.
That's why that beautiful little thing by Father Henry Nouwen that I just wrote, because discernment is the way by which you recognize what it is that He wants you to do rather than what I want to do. There are many things that I want to do for others, but there are those things that He wants me to do for others. And in discernment, what I come to ask God, that's the point of orientation. God, do you want me to do this? You know, if you have a mother and she has Alzheimer's and there are three or four children, how many of those children are involved in caring for that parent? And if all of the children say to you, you take care of her, now, and you think in false generosity that I'm going to do it, I think you're failing to help them live the fourth commandment, because it's their mother too. And they're going to be happier each day that they did whatever they could in the circumstance of their life to care for their parent. And you know, should an Alzheimer patient be put into a residence or a home? What are those decisions and how do you come to them? And so all of us have a responsibility and to share in what God wants us to do. There are many things in my life that I can rush into. And some of the experiences that I have is that people become overburdened because of this false generosity that leads them into this depression. You know, when you begin to say to yourself, where are the other members of my family? Am I the only one that's going to show up? And then it begins to cause division in your heart, anger, that you're doing this and nobody seems to be lifting a hand and nobody cares about what you're doing and no one gives you a pat on the back for all the things you're doing. So that has a tendency to pull us away from God and as well as pull us away from one another. I don't know if that answers your question.
Oh, it really does. I think it's a trap we fall into, especially those who feel they want to serve God. I think that's I think it's a big trap sometimes.
Yes, and I find people doing what I want to do rather than what God is calling me to do. What is it that I want to do? Do you find yourself at times, and I'm asking not just you, me, but anyone who's listening, waking up in the morning and looking at your morning schedule or your day's activities, and is it something that you even asked our Lord about? You know, I'm going to go to school, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to do shopping, but have you asked our Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And what are your requests of me today? And then it's really amazing when you can begin to refer to God and allow in your own inner self to hear what God wants you to do. Maybe your whole day will be turned upside down. When you really are praying the Our Father, listen to the words you're saying. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. What does that mean? That means, Father, I want to do here on earth your will, as the people in heaven do it. You gave me my life today, and when is it your will that I go to work, and this is the job that I have? And obviously, those things that you do, you're doing them not so much in a mechanical way, but because your Father asked you to do this. And the love that you're doing it with, I'm going to work. Why? Because my Father asked me to do this. And then everything becomes changed and filled with awe as your dad accompanies you to work. And even as you drive to work, you're about your Father's business. I am doing what, and the freedom with which you do it, and the strength with which you do it, is because God wants you to be at this job, whatever that might be. If you're an electrician and you're going out to a site to begin your trade and your electrical work, and you're working on an electrical contract, that fills you. You're doing what your Father asked you to do. Your altar that day is what you're working at. That's what Jesus did in the carpenter shop. He was doing his Father's will. Whatever he did was in response to what his dad was asking him to do. And so Jesus in you is there laboring at your electrical job or whatever it is that you're doing. And if you're a garbage collector in the city of Cincinnati, and that's what you're doing, that's what God wants you to do. And as you fulfill that, you're actually helping people keep their homes clean and doing what you're doing. Everything you do becomes an act of love because you're doing it in response to God's will for you. What a change everything takes on. If you're a teacher, in your preparation, in your teaching, in your reaching out to your students, everything becomes your vocation, your call. It's the source of what you're doing is God, and He supplies you with the strength. So many of us, I believe, are so unattached to the line that gives us life. And so we become, on our own, lonely, hungry, tired, and angry. The halt of the AA people is a magnificent way of pulling us up. Halt. Okay, let's start in a new way to find out what it is that I am made for. Thou hast made us, Augustine said, for thyself, O Lord, and we shall not rest until we rest in thee. Come to me, all you who are burdened and labor, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on your shoulders and learn from me. I am gentle and humble of heart. How many of us today can find a new joy and a new happiness in all that we do when the source of that, because, and where is that? It's not out there. It's within you. This Jesus who's saying that to you today is in your own heart. You don't have to go any place to consult him. Hopefully, when you get up this morning, you will turn to morning prayer. Bishop Sheen used to have a saying, so many people, when they get up because they're so weary, they say, oh, God, morning? And there are some who say, good morning, God. God is there. God is there. To hear our groaning, if that's what I'm experiencing, good God, morning? Or good morning, God.
A final thought for today, Monsignor.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May that will be done in you and me today for our own happiness and joy and our driving away any misery and weariness of our souls. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.